Resurrection. Jesus' journey to Calvary, as we talked about over the last several days, we know that from the time that he was taken from the garden through to his dying upon the cross, that there's really an odd irony to everything about it. And I'm not really sometimes sure how to express it. The gospel clearly defines the horrific things being done to Jesus, such as his false trial and his torture and the mocking of the people and finally the brutality of the cross. Yet what is being visibly described is both true and not true. It is and it is not. And so don't hear me wrong. I want you to understand where I'm coming from, because the gospel accounts are historically accurate. They are absolutely historically accurate. But an eyewitness on that day would witness Jesus as a person who is a fool and not a king. A person lacking power to do anything. A person condemned to die is what they saw on that cross. And a person who is unloved by the Father. All of which are not true. And in many times in our lives, that's how people see us. That's how we see ourselves. Which is not true. This is what I mean by saying that what is visibly being described in the Gospels is both true and not true. Because Jesus never once ceased to be king. Not one second of the time that he was here. He never ceased to be powerful. He never ceased to be the one who saves. And the Father never ceased to love him. Never. When the soldiers mocked him in Matthew 27, verses 27 through 31, little did they know that Jesus really was the King of Kings. When Jesus was mocked as being weak and having no power by people jeering at him to come off the cross and save himself, little did they know that Jesus' awesome power was on display as he chose the cross to intercede on our behalf. Even when they jeered at Jesus and they said, "He trusts in God, let God deliver him now if he desires him," in Matthew 27, verse 43, little did they know that the Father himself grieves the death of the Son as the temple curtain is torn. Top to bottom, just as one would tear a garment in grieving over the death of a loved one. Yes, Jesus became sin on our behalf, and he suffered a punishment and a wrath that cannot be comprehended. And he cried in agony, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But this does not mean that the Father ceased to love his Son. All of God, every piece of God, suffered at the cross. As we read our scripture for today, which is Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, I want us to read and understand what happened today. The scripture reads, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But when they had looked up, they saw it had been rolled away." Let's go back to that, Brad. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm having trouble seeing or something. "But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." The earliest manuscripts and most of the other witnesses do not have verses 9 through 20 that you see in your book, in your Bibles. Some of the Bibles don't even put it in there. But what we know is still were afraid. The odd irony of what we see as both being true and untrue is what it means to live by faith. We are living through one of the most horrific times of the generation. Thousands of people are literally dying each day. The liberty to gather and move about has been severely limited. Many have lost their jobs, and concerns about the future abound. So in this context, many think or voice that God has no power, that he is not God today, that he doesn't love us, and that he doesn't save us because we're suffering and we're seeing death and the circumstances that we see. But this is not true. What is visible says that death wins and fear reigns, and all persons must save themselves through actions driven by selfishness and dread. This is not true. You see, truth is that death does not win, for we have victory in Christ Jesus. Let's look at what the Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 57. The Bible says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's not true. Truth is that fear is not the master for God's perfect world, for his love has cast it out. As we see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." The Bible tells us there's no fear in love. There should be no reason to fear love. And the truth is that through our own weakness, through the realities that we have all these circumstances of unemployment, of sickness, of all of the pain that we are going through, every one of us, in one way or another, this is how God is made perfect. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 through 19, or verse chapter 12, verses 9, it says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" That's what Paul said. Faith is recognizing what is untrue in the visible, and knowing and believing and living by the truth that is unseen. The world is not going to, unless until it is put back into its perfect form by God, is not going to represent the things of the Word. We have to take some of that by faith. And here is the truth. You're not alone no matter how alone you are. You are not alone. No matter how alone you are. Because you are loved no matter how unloved you feel right now. And death is not the end, no matter how final it seems. You see, for there is a life that survives the grave. And John chapter 11, verse 25, John tells us that we will be called to be with God if we believe in Jesus Christ. And so thus, like our Lord's journey to Calvary, there He had to live by faith. He taught us to live by faith and not by sight. That's what called him, because they saw a Savior, a King that was humiliated, that was destroyed, that was killed, that died. But you and I, we know better. The fact of the matter is, he arose so that we could too. Because, as I told you, many of us live that life. We understand that the circumstances of life, if our sins can't be forgiven by our deeds, we can't do anything or deserve anything to make them go away. But God shed his blood. He arose so that we could too. We aren't looking for the sacrifice of Jesus. That isn't what we go out into our lives trying to find. We try to make it self-sufficient. We try to find some way that we can take care of ourselves. But Jesus is the only answer that will give us the pain reliever that we're seeking, that will give us the ultimate understanding. Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. Every one of us has had our sins taken away by Christ, if only we would accept it. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificed his life for us. An illustration that I've used before that I really like is it's like the old Etch-a-Sketch. Do you remember those? Some of you are old enough probably that you remember the little box that you could turn dials and little lines and magnets and things would go up and you could draw pictures. And then when you screwed things up, how did you fix it? You just shook it a little bit, right? And it all went away. New living, this new life, gives you a clean slate. The parts of you are still there. All those little black pieces of iron or whatever it was that the magnets would grab a hold of and put into a line, they're still in that Etch-a-Sketch. But God gets to put all the pieces back together again. It's a clean slate. You get to start over. And the same is true in our lives because of Christ. We can experience courage that will conquer our fears. When the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Because they were still afraid, even after he rose from the dead. The ladies were afraid when they went and they found the tomb empty. They still believed that he would be dead. They were going there to tend to a dead body. They had no intention of going to see Jesus risen. None. And when they were told that he rose, they were still afraid. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed him his hands and his side. And the disciples were then overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Just as we are when God saves us from whatever adversity or trap that we've fallen into in our lives, when we get out, we're very excited. We're happy. We thank the Lord. The pews are filled. Everything's wonderful in our churches during normal times. It's all wonderful. But we need that courage to get us through that joy. Because the Jewish leaders, they saw, once the Holy Spirit came upon them, that Peter and John were not afraid to speak. And they understood that these men had no special training or education, but yet they still were able to preach and to let them know about what God's plan was for their life. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke God's word without fear. You can experience life that overcomes death. What a God we have. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. And we have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. You can experience purpose that replaces your emptiness. You see, we're God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ. And so we have and can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on the earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Let me tell you this, church. If Easter is truly the focal point of history today, then we have a choice to make. Believe in Jesus or dismiss him. Accept his claims or reject him. You can't have a middle ground. There's no middle way. You have to make a choice. You can't remain neutral. If you have made the choice to follow Christ, then I want to encourage you to live your life in the light of Jesus' death and resurrection. Get into his word and communicate with him in prayer. Get involved in worship and fellowship regularly. Share God's love with those around you. Make your life a celebration of all that God has done. Because that's what this is all about. We've been resurrected. We have been resurrected. Easter is a celebration of a new beginning that's only brought to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. We're so thankful for the love that he has shown to us and to the hope that he has given to us. At this time, we're going to sing an invitation. haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And then we're going to sing. We're going to sing a hymn, He Lives. Okay? I want you to pray with me. Dear God, I love you. Dear God, I know that I am a sinner. And I know that I need your hope in order to live. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins through the blood of Jesus. Jesus who died, who lived, and who lives again. God, I ask that you would give me the strength and the courage to live a life that's pleasing to you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, then you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior into your life. I'd like for you to let me know so that I might be able to help you if there's anything I can do to support you as a new believer. As we stand and as we